The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to the weekend, a Friday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. Got lots of exclusives. Listener tips have turned us on to a bunch of stories that you will not hear anywhere else. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
But this is not an exclusive because everybody knows that Jay Inslee yesterday unveiled the new state lottery for vaccinated people. And why is he doing it?
We're making this investment today because we know every life in the state of Washington has value. So I'm excited to announce these strong incentives that will bring the potential to save thousands of lives on top of everybody else's agenda in their individual lives.
Our data daddy doesn't know anything about data because most of the stuff that they talked about will not save one life, okay? It is absolute nonsense when he says that it'll save thousands of lives. I don't know how in the world he came up with that number of multiple thousands. The total number of COVID deaths in our state is 5,866. So we're not going to have thousands more because COVID is basically gone. Basically, not quite entirely, but it's basically gone. I went to a lot of places yesterday and I am maskless forevermore. I'm not wearing it in any businesses anymore. It's just useless. And so he's not going to save thousands of lives with this lottery. That is a statistical impossibility, especially when they're focusing so much of this on getting shots into children. It's really crazy. Okay, but let's go through this. So they came up with a real cool phrase for it.
The vaccine is a shot to provide health and protection to you, to your family, and to your community. So we are providing a shot of a lifetime in this incentive package.
Get it? It's a shot that goes into your arm. If you win the lottery, it's a shot of a lifetime. So they're going to give away lots of money.
The first four weekly lottery drawings will include a $250,000 prize each week. The fifth and final lottery will be for an award of $1 million.
If the vaccine is so great, and again, it's good enough that I got it, but if it's so great, why do they have to keep dangling things in front of people to get it done? There are just a lot of people who have decided they don't want to get something that hasn't been fully approved by the FDA and is still technically experimental and all of that. You know, more studies, more stories today about how the, not the Moderna, the Pfizer. There have been several cases of in teens and young adults of enlarged heart after getting the Pfizer vaccine. It's just, it's a mania. But they're focusing on college kids.
We're also providing $1 million for higher education tuition costs. We're providing funding for public four-year universities and two-year community and technical colleges to run their own drawing for free tuition and expensive for vaccinated students. So the colleges themselves will administer that program. The state will also be offering 30 prizes of 1 year of tuition college credits to 12 and 17-year-olds through the Guaranteed Education Tuition GET program.
So they want to get 12-year-olds vaccinated. That's the whole plan here. When kids don't die. In fact, some people said, you're wrong, Dory. There was one kid in Western Washington who had tremendous comorbidities. I know somebody who knows the family. And then there was one reported in Eastern Washington, and the Spokane Spokesman Review had to do a correction that that child did not die from COVID. So as far as healthy kids, there hasn't been one who has died in our state. So why are they so eager to get the shots into the arms of 12-year-olds. And they're trying to expand it to 5-year-olds. And Children's Hospital is going to start doing experiments on 6-month-old babies. And so I talked about this yesterday after the Inslee speech, and I got a bunch of angry texts. No, it's not for the kids. It's so they don't spread it to other people. What? I've been vaccinated. A kid's not going to spread it to me. First of all, kids have been proven to be very imperfect spreaders of the virus. They just are not good spreaders of it. It is older people who tend to spread it. So first of all, kids are inefficient spreaders of the virus. Secondly, if the other people don't want to get it from the kid, then get vaccinated yourself. But the fact that people don't, that adults don't want to get vaccinated, so to reward them, we're going to give shots into children, maybe as young as 6 months old? That's crazy. But that's, so, give college tuition if the 12-year-olds get it. And let's see, there's going to be sports stuff, lots of private companies. But here's the one. There was one above all else that I'm hoping for.
Topsoil.
Yes! Yes! Oh, do I need some topsoil. Just last weekend, I rode my bike down to Albertsons because sometimes they'd bark and they had some compost. No topsoil. And we had some new deck planters. And I could go find a place in my yard to dig dirt to fill them up and then wheelbarrow it up and carry it through the house. And I just said to my wife, you know what? Who cares? Let's just spend the money, get a few bags of topsoil because they're big, huge, tall pots. And then we'll put the potting soil on top of all the topsoil. Well, Albertsons didn't have topsoil. Ace Hardware, I rode by there. They have a big outdoor fenced-in area with all their things like bark and compost and potting soil. But no topsoil there. But since I got the vaccine, Jay Inslee might give me
topsoil.
Yes. I'm in.
The State Department of Health will also have $500,000 in gift cards to give away over the summer. And they'll provide these gift cards through the Care a Van program, which brings mobile clinics out to where people reside and gather.
Wait a second. Is it only for people who got it at a mobile clinic? Is that who the prize is exclusively for?
Gift cards will be for different kinds of retail gatherings, from groceries to fishing gear. It's a topsoil. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at other programs.
Who's eligible? That's the other big question.
These are open to anyone in our state, regardless of citizenship status, but you must be a Washington resident.
So you can be an illegal alien, but you have to be a Washington resident. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, So this is not going to save thousands of lives. I'd be shocked if we have thousands of COVID deaths, period, over the next several months. But they were focusing mainly on getting shots into children. And all the indignant people who didn't like my comments about how stupid that is, they all said, no, so the kids don't give it to their parents and grandparents. Then parents, grandparents get vaccinated. But because you don't like the vaccine or you're too lazy to get the vaccine or whatever, don't make every kid in the state get the vaccine. They don't need it. True lunacy in action. And then lots of other things with this. It's going to be administered, this lottery, by the Washington State Lottery. Who in the heck authorized the state of Washington to give my personal private medical information to the Washington State Lottery? Did you, if you're vaccinated, do you remember signing anything that said that Jay Inslee can share your medical information with other state agencies like the lottery? I don't think this is even legal. We do have HIPAA laws, And Jay Inslee is releasing everybody's medical information who's gotten the vaccine. Maybe you don't want people to know you got the vaccine for whatever reason. Maybe you've railed against the vaccine to your friends, but then thought, oh, I'll get it anyway. I mean, I don't know, whatever the reason, you don't want people to know. And now all of a sudden, your medical records are in the hands of the state lottery commission? That's crazy. So it's not going to save thousands of lives. We are focusing all these prizes, or many of these prizes, on people who are not going to make one bit of difference in the COVID spread or death rate in Washington. And again, there's only one important takeaway from this entire mess.
Topsoil.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Dory Monson Show exclusive.
A friend of mine, and Nicole knows this person as well. We worked with a person that I've stayed friends with and talked to all the time. And now this person lives out of state, but had a long talk last week with this person. And he educated me about the trans community. And I know everybody said, Dory, don't talk about that. That's what gets you into trouble. No, it's okay. It's okay. But what I said, what I've said before, and this was in regards to drag queen story time in the King County Public Libraries, where children as young as 2 or 3 years old get books read to them by drag queens. And I talked to my friend because he and his partner, one of their favorite forms of entertainment is going to drag shows. I don't care. We're adults. It's none of my business. I'm still really good friends with this person. I wouldn't choose to join him on him and his partner's favorite form of entertainment. But I don't care. Couldn't care less. That's why we've been good friends this whole time. So I've talked about the drag queen story time, though, and I talked to my friend about this, and I said, but drag culture is heavy into sex and drugs, correct? It goes, oh, absolutely. I mean, there's just no question about this at all, that it is heavily filled with sex and drugs. So why do we keep wanting to expose children to this? And King County Library Drag Queen Storytime, the kids would be encouraged to, the drag queens would give out their Instagram accounts, and there's stuff on many of those Instagram accounts that are very inappropriate for kids. So anyway, a listener brought this to my attention at MoPOP, the Museum of Pop Culture. It used to be Jimi Hendrix Experience Music Project down at the Seattle Center. And they have some summer camps that they are offering. And this one is for grades 6 through 12 this summer. Dragtastic Summer Camp, The Art of Drag. Calling all current and future kings and queens, explore self-expression in MoPOP's week-long Dragtastic Summer Camp. Led by Seattle performer, and gives his name, you'll investigate drag history and work together with local artists to create your own personas. You'll choose your name, explore hair and makeup techniques, learn how to shop for clothing, and develop your character's stage presence. We'll take field trips, go shopping for costume pieces at thrift stores, and then you'll celebrate your new drag persona with a private showcase. And I will tell you that even some drag queens who have been in the, you know, in that as their form of entertainment for 30 years, like Kitty DeMar. Kitty DeMar is this guy's drag queen name. And he has a video up there, or Kitty DeMar has a video up there about this sort of thing, about parents sending children to drag camp.
I have no idea why you want drag queens to read books to your children. I have no idea. What in the hell has a drag queen ever done to make you have so much respect for them and admire them so much? other than put on makeup and jump on the floor and writhe around and do sexual things on stage. I have absolutely no idea why you would want that to influence your child.
And as Kitty DeMar is recording this video, this person is in full drag, you know, big bouffanti wig, long eyelashes, the full makeup, the exaggerated makeup. And but Kitty DeMar talked about what's backstage at almost every drag show.
Would you want a stripper or a porn star to influence your child? It makes no sense at all. A drag queen performs in a nightclub for adults. There is a lot of filth that goes on, a lot of sexual stuff that goes on. And backstage, there's a lot of nudity, sex, and drugs.
And this drag queen says, look, if your kid is gay, there are lots of other more positive ways to support that kid.
So I don't think that this is an avenue you would want your child to explore. They could explore dressing up at home like we all did, like all gay boys did. We all dressed at home and we had a great time. We had a great time with our girlfriends, putting on makeup, trying on clothes, things like that. But to actually get them involved in drag is extremely, extremely irresponsible on your part.
And he says it hurts the kids and it also hurts the drag community.
And I understand you might want to look like you're with it, that you're cool, that you're woke, that you're not a Nazi, that you're not a homophobe, whatever it may be. But you can raise your child to be just a normal, regular, everyday child without including them in gay, sexual things. And honestly, you're not doing the gay community any favors. In fact, you're hurting us, okay? We have already had a reputation of being pedophiles and being perverts and deviants. We don't need you to bring your children around. So you keep your kids at home or take them to Disneyland or take them to Chuck E. Cheese. But if you need your child to be entertained by a big human in a costume or in makeup, take them to the circus or something. When they turn 18... then why don't you take them to the clubs on their 18th birthday? Because it's an adult thing, okay? So don't ruin your child's life and don't ruin us because that's what you're doing.
That was from a drag queen. And I agree, you know, 18th birthday, adults should be free to do whatever they want. And my good friend who likes with his partner going to drag shows, I don't care. But I do think that because it is a culture that is filled with drugs and sex, according to this drag queen, according to my friend, that it's not appropriate for children. But that's what MoPop is doing. The Dragtastic Summer Camp, grade 6 through 12, if you want your child to get a running start on that. Okay, tell you what, I've got kind of a related subject. I'm going to take a quick time out, and then we are going to continue the big lead into the next segment, another exclusive for you. Coming up as the Dory Monson Show gets rolling on this Friday afternoon.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Hey, it's a supersized big lead into the 12:32 segment here. Oh, it's 12:33, Cairo News Time, 12:33. So we told you an exclusive from a listener tip about the camp, the drag queen camp that 6th through 12th graders can go to at MoPop this summer. Then I got an email from a dad this morning, and I've heard from this dad before. He's a good man. He's a good dad. So here's what he writes. Dory, here we go again. I will be pulling my daughter from class again on Monday at Cedar Way Elementary in Edmonds as they read this book that has clear cross-dressing gay trans ideologies being taught to fourth graders. Just thought you might want to share so other parents know what's going on in their schools. And he correctly says this is tied to R90, this is tied to the radical sex ed bill that the legislature pushed through. And he says, I feel helpless as I watch this happen. I try to think of other parents that I would want to text or tell about this, but I have a feeling they would be on the other side or too afraid to speak up themselves. The only way I feel less isolated on this is when I speak to my close family behind closed doors or when I hear your radio show. So anyway, thank you for what you do. And so the book is titled My Shadow is Pink, and it's about a little boy. Now, okay, so everybody says, so what's wrong with this? It's just about inclusion. It's just about showing diversity. Well, I looked up some stats, and there are no stats of how many fourth graders identify as trans. In high school, it's 2%. When you drop all the way back to fourth grade, it's close to zero. And so why are we spending time in schools? It's not about the message, but why are we spending time on something that really doesn't impact fourth graders at all in their life? So anyway, I have a link the dad sent me from the class curriculum at Cedar Way Elementary in Edmonds for Monday. And here's some of the book that is going to be read to the kids.
Now, things are all changing, and that is not cool. I'm ready to start my first day at school. The teacher has asked us to dress up with our shadow in its favorite thing. My heart skips a beat as I put on a dress. And I look at my dad, who is anxious and stressed. He takes me to class and I turn to say bye. His face is all worried. There's fear in his eyes.
Okay, so this little boy who says early in the book that his shadow is pink and his dad and his brother's shadow is blue. So he puts on a dress to go to school. And then when he gets to school...
So I step in the doorway and puff out my chest. One thing is clear. I'm not like the rest. I try to say, hi, but my voice is too quiet. The kids turn around and the room, it goes silent. I run out the door and I push past my dad. I run to my house feeling angry and sad. If my shadow was blue, I'd be there making friends. I'd be laughing and playing and drawing with pens. I rip off my dress, throw it down on the floor. I won't wear it again, not ever, no more. Just then, at my door, came a soft little knock. It's my dad walking in, and I look up in shock. Both he and his shadow, in dresses they stood, with shimmering seams and pink sparkling hoods.
Okay, and then the illustration. Dad, who, you know, looks like a big lumberjack, a big barrel chest, big arms, mustache, lots of stubble. And so Dad walks into the boy's room and his son's bedroom. And Dad's wearing a big sparkly dress. And so then in the next illustration, the dad and the son are walking down the sidewalk, both wearing dresses, going back to school.
So put on that dress and get back to school. If someone won't like you, then they are the fool. My heart nearly burst and my shadow, it soared. I picked up the dress and wore it once more. We ran out the door, this time holding hands. My dad and our shadows, together we stand. I stride in my class, and I puff out my chest. I may be different, but different is best.
Okay, this is best, they say. This is best. And so, if you are a cisgender child, then you are not the best, according to this message. Now, again, the issue... Oh, somebody told me to stop saying again. It was a good text from somebody. So I'm going to try to stop saying that. Apparently, I say again too much. So I'm going to check myself. Inclusion's a good thing. But this is an irrelevant topic for fourth graders, for 9 and 10-year-olds, because they don't identify as cross-dressers. It is just as close to statistically zero as you can get. So why is this part of the curriculum in a fourth grade Edmonds classroom? Especially when, you know, a couple Sundays ago, 60 Minutes did a story about many children who are transgender, switch genders, and then decided to switch back. But physiological damage, permanent damage, had been done. They talked to a person named Grace Lindsay Smith.
If I could inhabit life as like a trans man, as a man, then I wouldn't feel so self-conscious. I was thinking that it would make me feel very free.
Grace says she found a gender therapist on the internet and told her, "I'm thinking of transitioning."
She thought it all sounded pretty good.
Did the therapist not question you about how deep the feeling was and what it was stemming from?
She didn't go into what my gender dysphoria might have been stemming from. We only did a few sessions.
And then she talked about how easy it was to get testosterone. They only did a few sessions, and a doctor says, well, you're transgender, so take testosterone. And then this person discovered, no, I want to be a woman again. But there's been permanent damage. There's permanent damage to Garrett in Louisiana on 60 Minutes.
I didn't get enough pushback on transitioning. I went for two appointments, and after the second one, I had, like, my letter to go get on cross-sex hormones. I had never really been suicidal before until I had my breast augmentation.
Okay, and you caught that, right? After two sessions with the doctor, that's when they started giving him the hormones. And then listen to what happened to this kid.
And about a week afterwards, I wanted to, like, actually kill myself. Like, I had a plan and I was going to do it, but I just kept thinking about, like, my family to stop myself. It kind of felt like, how am I ever going to feel normal again like other guys now?
He had his testicles removed, and that's why he felt so horrible. And but as the doctors who are pushing this on our children, this is the cut I've played a couple of times earlier this week. This is one of the most hideous things I've ever heard a doctor say about why it's no big deal if a little girl, 13, 14 years old, without parent permission, why it's no big deal if a little girl cuts off her breasts.
But so what we do know is that adolescents actually have the capacity to make a reasoned, logical decision. And here's the other thing about chest surgery. If you want breasts at a later point in your life, you can go and get them.
So you can cut off your breasts, and then you can have a double mastectomy, but then you can get artificial breasts later on. So that's a doctor who's saying this. So you hear all these troubled kids who were profiled on 60 Minutes. So again, I ask the question, why don't we spend school time? Inclusion is a good thing. Treating people well is a good thing. But this is an issue that does not apply to fourth graders. And it's an issue, whether it's, you know, drag camp at Mopop or in the schools, it is an issue that is being forced on our kids. And a lot of parents are uncomfortable with it, but a lot of parents are afraid to speak up because then you will be homophobic. You got to speak up. You got to speak up. Okay, quick timeout. Lots more to do as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Appreciate all the texts I'm getting, and the theme that I love is all the people who feel like you're not alone in what you're seeing. But you don't need a radio show to know you're not alone. You just have to have the courage to speak up. And I know a lot of people, they don't want to be called names, but we're seeing parents rising up at school board meetings. all over the country. I've got some great audio I'm going to play for you in the Fastest 15. And, yeah, you're going to get a couple slings and arrows because there is a very active campaign, and I know this probably as well or better than anybody. There's a very powerful campaign to silence people who don't walk in lockstep, who dare stray from what the mob is mandating these days. But when you speak out, you're going to find out there are an awful lot of people who think and feel the way that you do. Okay, I got some other stuff going on around the country. Man, I tell you, Jay Inslee, with this ridiculous vaccine lottery, he has really emerged as a governor. You know, the Cato Institute said Jay Inslee is the worst governor in the United States when it comes to fiscal management. And he has just exploded our budget, exploded our taxes in 8-plus years as governor. And, you know, Cato Institute's based in Washington, D.C. They don't have any axe to grind with our state or with our governor personally. They just analyzed how governors are, and Jay Inslee is the worst governor in the United States on fiscal policy. Just look at your tax bill. You'll know what I'm talking about there. I think this vaccine lottery is ridiculous and isn't going to save any lives. And so I don't think Jay Inslee's a good governor. I know that's a shock. There are some good governors around the country, though. And I like this Kristi Noem in South Dakota. So she wanted to have a fireworks show at Mount Rushmore in her state. Last year, Donald Trump, and this was right at the heat and in the teeth of COVID, Donald Trump had a big fireworks show that he went to at Mount Rushmore. And it was not a super spreader event. But Kristi Noem wants to do it now when COVID's been almost completely knocked down in her state. But it's federal land, and the federal government, the Biden administration, is not allowing fireworks at Mount Rushmore this year, and the governor knows why.
There wasn't specific reasons that had credibility, and we call this an unlawful act to not make sure that we can conduct our celebration on July 3rd at Mount Rushmore like we did last year. This is part of the radical left's agenda. They don't want to celebrate America or our freedoms. They're pushing critical race theory. They're pushing the 1619 Project, and this is just another one of those battles to erase our true, honest, and patriotic history in this country.
Yeah, to erase a patriotic history. That's very much what's at play here. And here's what she said was more reasons. They said, oh, it won't be safe.
Well, we did all of this work in making sure that we were working with local and state and federal fire officials to conduct a safe fireworks celebration last year. Those agreements are still in place. The work has been done. Backburning has been taking place to make sure it was going to be a safe environment. And, Ainslee, there's always a go, no-go checklist that even up until hours we have the celebration.
So it's just silly that they can't have fireworks at Mount Rushmore, but the Biden administration is afraid that the radical left will get angry, or angrier. They say that Biden isn't far enough left, even though he is probably further left than FDR and further left than any president in the last 100 years. Down in Florida, they have a governor who I think will be president someday, Ron DeSantis. And one big issue is should this has been kind of a theme this hour. Should biological boys be allowed to play girls' high school sports? And he signed a bill saying that he's going to stand up for the biological girls because it's just not safe any other way.
I think as these bills were going through various legislatures, I remember the NCAA put out a statement saying any state that enacts this, we're not going to hold events there. And so I called the Speaker of the House in Florida, and I said, did you hear what they said? And he's like, yeah. I said, we definitely got to get this done. You can't be cowed by these organizations, or particularly by woke corporations, from doing the right thing. And so my view was throughout this whole time, we have to protect our girls. It is discriminatory to force them to compete against biological males. And so if the price of having a tournament is that I have to deny equal opportunity to hundreds of thousands of young girl and women athletes throughout Florida, I am much more willing to stand with the girls, and to hell with these events.
Yeah, there are governors who are willing to stand up to what the mob is demanding. Unfortunately, Jay Inslee's not one of those governors. Okay, we'll check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then the Fastest 15 is coming up next.